Be seated. Gonna warn you. Gonna talk about giving. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll look at verses 1 through 15. We looked at chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, and the theme there was allow the trials and sorrows of life that come upon us to prompt us into repentance. As Christians, we can find ourselves getting caught up into a routine, the daily cares of everyday life. And then some incident will happen, perhaps something that awakens us to situations of others around us. Perhaps we even recognize a change is needed within our own life. And we can turn around and see that a period of time has passed, maybe a birthday, maybe something like that, and we realize, hey, I'm growing older. And it seems to be coming upon me each and every day, and maybe I don't like what I see in my Christian life. Or perhaps there's some unforeseen event that startles us into the present day we live in. And for some of us, our children are having children. And children. It has been said about life, it is so daily. And Paul, he tells the Corinthians, our flesh and our spirit has grown cold to the things of God, and family life can take on a whole different meaning, a whole new outlook. Sickness can strike us, and that can be very troubling. Knee replacements. Back problems. Where's Willie? Back problems. And all of a sudden our life changes. And the joy that we once had as being free and sort of carefree and bills being paid and all that can all of a sudden turn into sorrow. Now, I'm an old man. I know I don't look a day over 80, but that's all right. And looking back upon my life, I'm forced to acknowledge family and circumstance have changed. Some things for the better, and some things for the worse. And I'm convinced that we need to review our goals and our ambitions as we grow older. I have a brother-in-law in Alaska who just recently retired. He doesn't like to refer to himself as a retired person. He says, I now have a new focus. Okay. The Corinthians were a very worldly church. And Paul has written to them a severe letter. And the severe letter we really don't have. We have 1 and 2 Corinthians, but we don't have the severe letter. It probably to our benefit that it got lost. But this severe letter tells them repentance is needed. Makes me wonder what Paul would say to the modern day Christian church. Perhaps he would write us a severe letter. Maybe one that even calls for us to repent. But Paul, full of grace towards Corinth, wants them to grow and mature in the Lord. So let's jump into 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 8. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, and he's talking about giving, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive this gift and fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. And I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Paul, he will now address the Corinthians how they are to be givers. Now, if you've attended here for any length of time, you know I don't really talk a lot about tithes and offerings. I don't make it a constant theme. Our needs are met. But the literature that comes across my desk as a pastor is grow in your attendance and grow in your money that you receive. That seems to be the main focus of the modern day church. Paul speaks of giving back to God, and he speaks of it as being grace. Giving being grace. We are allowed to support God's church, this church, by grace. Now, grace, unmerited favor. But Paul puts a little twist on it and says, unmerited favor to give, to be part of God's kingdom. Paul, he calls Corinth along with Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, and these are the churches of Macedonia, or northern Greece. And they're in deep poverty, but they're still generous in their giving. Rome, when they took over this area, stripped them of their wealth as being a conquered people. And Paul recognizes that they wanted to be givers. Corinthians wanted to be givers to the needs that were there in Judea, primarily the Jerusalem church. And Paul says, yet you are in abject poverty yourselves. Now that's peculiar, isn't it? The most giving people, and you see it on TV and everything else, are the poor people of the world. They're more generous than the wealthy. And this is true in Corinth. By the grace of God, they are now willing to give. Now, our needs here at Calvary, they are met. We are not in any bind financially whatsoever. Our needs are met, and praise be to God. But it's done by the generosity of your giving. A while back, I asked one of the young ladies here if she would do me a painting. And I wanted a painting of Jesus looking over his shoulder, noticing the poor woman that dropped in 2 copper coins into the offering. This widow gave all that she had. This was all of her means of living. And Jesus noted her generosity. Now, do you think that widow went without her needs being met for any length of time? I tell you, not for a moment. God supplied her needs. But the same kind of giving is also there in Macedonia. The Corinthian church, they implored Paul to receive this gift for Judea or Jerusalem. And But notice that our giving is not measured in the amount we give, but from the point of need that we give. This poor widow gave all that she had, and Jesus noticed it. Paul in verse 8 tells Corinth, I see the sincerity of your love to others, speaking of Jerusalem, as proof of your love for fellow believers. Their giving verified that they loved the Jerusalem church. Love is proof of our giving. We're giving of our everyday life and means when we give. Titus, a fellow apostle, he was to receive this gift from Corinth and, along with Paul, take it to Jerusalem. But the people at Corinth had saved their money for a long time. They had saved up, perhaps even for a year, to give this gift to the Jerusalem church. I have a question. Have you ever been required to budget your income yearly? It's a task. When I was a tree farmer in California, we were paid our money when the crop came in, most of our annual income in one lump. We were forced to budget our money. Land loans were usually annually, not monthly, but annually. And Lori and I found this is a difficult way of life to adjust to. One gigantic payment every year, and it forces you to be a good steward of your money. And the Corinthians have been saving up to send their gift by Paul and Titus to Jerusalem. Notice, they saved up to give. Most of us, self-included, give from our abundance. But Corinth put aside money out of their poverty and saved it up to send a one-time gift down to Jerusalem. And Paul, he's concerned about the giving of Corinth. And he says, hey, you promised to give, now be diligent in giving. Give this gift from a willful, cheerful heart. And Paul will continue in his writing, fulfill your commitment to give. Paul cites that by grace from God, they are allowed to give. Do we look upon that as a way to give? It's by God's grace, his unmerited favor upon us, that we can give. Perhaps we should realign our thinking. I'm not sure I look upon my giving in a graceful attitude. Let's read verses 9 through 15. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete it in doing of it. That is, there is a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have. Fulfill your gift. For if there is first willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and that their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. Paul is looking for equality within the church movement. And as it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather be a giver than a taker. Maybe it's a pride issue on my part, I don't know. but I would rather be giving than receiving. I had a Christian pastor friend ask me, what do you do about the small items of the church that you use for yourself, taken from the abundance of items perhaps that the church has? Things like ballpoint pens, paper tablets, wire nuts. I told my friend I make sure I'm on the giving side. I like to think that I give more than I take. Things like Coke for our potluck or gasoline for the lawnmower, that kind of thing. I want to make sure I'm giving. Paul brings to Corinth's attention, you promise to give, so fulfill your giving. By the grace of God, and it is by his grace, Lori and I are blessed in our finances. We really are. God has took care of us. And Paul mentions four times in this chapter, by grace, they should be giving. That applies to us too. Paul will use a Greek word, charis, meaning the ability to give and the heart to give is a free gift from God. Again, our needs are met here. We have offering boxes in the back. We don't pass the plate and so forth. And I rarely, if ever, talk about giving. But giving should be a part of every Christian's life. For a believer to be a giver, it demonstrates a great work of God being done in that heart. We can hear unbelievers criticize the church, and they'll make comments like, that church, all they think about is begging for money. Oh, I hope that's not our reputation. If this eighth chapter of Corinthians did not address giving, I would not be stressing giving this morning. Paul points out how our Lord Jesus, although he was rich, not in money, but Jesus became poor, that through his poverty, we might become rich. Jesus was fully God in heaven in his deity, but he took on human form and became poor. The Son of God, born to a poor Mary, Joseph, his stepdad, becoming fully human, laying aside the greatest riches ever known. Before Mary came on the scene, Jesus was in the splendor of heaven, extremely rich. He only became poor when he became one of us. You remember, he was born in a stable of very poor human parents, and he took on poverty when he became fully man. Fully man, fully God. And Jesus spoke up and said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. No place that he could call home. Jesus gave up the riches of heaven, the splendor of heaven, to become one of us. Now that's giving. Jesus, as our Savior, gave us the greatest gift imaginable in coming to the earth, and he provided salvation. He provided for us a relationship with God himself. Here's a thought, maybe you've thought about it. Have you ever considered what you would pay for salvation? What would you give for salvation? The greatest riches we've ever imagined. We receive from the riches of the Son of God. Now, many of us, self included, work and save for retirement. a temporary thing. But consider what you would give for salvation and the gift of eternal life. Let's consider that. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, thank you for the grace that you give us to be givers, that we can give with a cheerful heart, that we can give back to you a small portion of your goodness to us. So, Lord, take the monies that we receive here and use them for your glory and for your kingdom. Take our part of our everyday lives that we give back to you and use them to further your kingdom, to further your agenda, Lord, here in this world. We want to be givers, Lord. We don't want to be takers. And we want to be givers by the grace that you have given us. So may we contemplate on that. May we think on that. We've been given grace to give. So we give you thanks, Lord. Not only that, we want to be given our tithes and our offerings as just part of that grace that you have given us. So move on our hearts. We're your children, we're your people, and we want to be about supporting your kingdom, Lord. So we give you thanks. Thank you for a good, rich lifestyle. But may we be diligent in our giving, Lord. We want to be about you and your kingdom. So help us. You provide for us, and we give you thanks for that. So just make this gift of grace by giving a reality in our lives. And we give you thanks for that. And we pray in Jesus' name.